Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharnika op Groot FM 90.5.
As jy nou Sharnika is, dan jy nou, wat is die kat vir jou naam nou, Logan?
Logan.
Ek jy lang gesien, maar die kat buig terwyl hy tydens, wat hy gaan vir jou uitsorteer. Jy het nie vir my geluister, nou is jy my gebakte pere en die geskeerde. Hy katte, jy moet hulle check, hulle maak moeilikheid.
John, I'm going to tell you what I said now before you came into studio. I said, I see videos on your social media where you have a better relationship with wild cats than I have with my house cat. They love you more than he loves me.
Shandor, if I were you, I would stay away from that cat. Logan, yeah, I'll stay away from that cat. He's a...
Trust me, guys, it's a thing. Like, even my dogs at home are not as trained as some of the animals I work with.
Shandor, is it, do we pronounce it, is it Laurenti?
Shandor Laurenti.
Laurenti.
That's correct.
Okay. Let me tell you, I went onto your TikTok and I watched the videos. Now, I don't want to get into the detail, but I've had a similar experience. And I freaked out. Okay? Because the stuff that you do, it's epic looking at it. But I think it must be real for you to spend so much time with these animals. Let's go back. Let's go way back. Like, where did this whole thing start? Because you grew up in a family that was very much into conservation and stuff. Do I have the facts correct?
That's correct. So I've pretty much grown up in this, in this environment. My grandmother was an animal behaviorist. My dad followed suit, and it's been passed down to me. So I'm the third generation to kind of continue this line of work in my family. So I've been very fortunate to grow up in this environment. And to grow up with the amazing animals that I call my family.
So your dad, Alex, right, where was he active?
So he's also based at the Lion and Safari Park, close to Lanseria.
Right, so he's pretty much from there, busy with the animals and so on. But from the age of 12, I mean, I suppose it goes earlier than that. But, I mean, there was a special moment with you forming a bond with an animal. And that's where it all started, your love for these cats, right?
100%. So don't get me wrong, I've always loved animals. I've grown up around it. But at the age of 12 is where, you know, that kind of passion was really sparked. My dad had a cheetah called Shitana that I had the opportunity to start spending time with over that period. And that's kind of where that bond started. Shitana, through that time, I'd actually lost my mom, so I spent a lot of time with her, and it was somewhat of a coping mechanism.
Wow.
And I think over that period, I didn't realize how much, you know, she helped me through that. And she was like a teacher, a friend, a level of comfort, and I think that's where I was like, you know, I want to make as much of a difference in their lives as they have in mine.
Okay, I want to stop there quickly, because I want to get into you saying that Shitana was a teacher for you in many ways. In what aspect specifically? Explain it to me. Why would you say she was a teacher? She, right? Shitana?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, you know, growing up with your group of friends. They kind of shape who you are. And I think in a way that's how it was for me. My friends just happen to have four legs and lots of fur.
Crazy.
So, you know, they help us develop who we become later on when you spend that much time with them. And I'm so fortunate to have such special, unique characters that I've been able to have around me as I've been growing up.
I've had a cheetah close by as well, and I did not like the licking part because their tongues are really, it's very rough, okay? It's not a smooth tongue, like a cat is not in it, but let me tell you, a cheetah is completely different. And I was like, my poor little skin is not going to last for the fourth lick, and then I'm going to be done. She's going to lick me off. And it's frightening, hey, if they start licking you and you think to yourself, okay, she's just trying it out first, just seeing if she likes this flavor. Luckily, I was not her type of taste or her taste. But it's crazy, and the rough tongues and so on, it freaks you out if you get close to that.
It's definitely a rough situation. So just to reiterate to that, it's caused by papillae on their tongue. So it's actually there to help them strip the skin from the meat and the meat from the bones. So
yeah, I felt that.
Getting a little bit of a taste before they start the meal.
Yeah. See, that's the problem, Shando.
I felt that. All right. Ons het hier nog gaan ons voort gesels. Because, I mean, I'm supposed, I know you also speak about the misperception, specifically regarding hyenas and so on. I want to get into that, but then I want to get to your bond with the lions as well. That is just epic and crazy at the same time.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.
Shano Laurenti, Beyond the Raw, extraordinary bond with Africa's wildlife. And let me tell you, very much so. If you go and have a look at his TikTok, over 9 million followers on TikTok currently. But and the nice thing is, what I really appreciate about your TikTok page is it's all about education about these incredible animals in South Africa, and you're using it for conservation purposes as well. But let me dive into this. Again, I want to understand correctly. Like, if you work with the lions that you normally work with, and let's say in the Kruger National Park, wherever the case might be, any wildlife reserve, how do these lions and leopards and all these cat species specifically, it's very dangerous, how do they differ from each other? Because, I mean, would you jump out at a random reserve? I mean, you know, you study their behavior. Would you jump out and go towards a lion in a national park, anywhere?
So I feel like I need to have a disclaimer before I say anything here. But I think the fact is, and we discussed it briefly earlier, is the animals that I work with, I've spent the last 18 years building those relationships. I know their personalities, their individual likes, the dislikes. You can't generalize and kind of say every lion is the same.
Yes.
But in an environment like I work in, there's a lot more risk than opposed to a lion out in the Kruger National Park.
Wait, hold on. Are you saying, I just want to understand correctly, so the lions that you work with in the environment that you work in currently, is there more risk than a wild one out in the wild?
100%.
Explain that.
So, you know, they've grown up around us, around people. They lack that fear. Mm. So, I mean, if you go in a convertible car, they're going to be inside your vehicle. So, you know, whereas a lion in the Kruger, it's going to keep its distance. Like, you go in this open game drive vehicles.
Are you sure they're going to keep their distance?
I mean, you can never say never.
Keep your arms inside the vehicle.
But this is, you know, like we were saying earlier, this is why I say a lot of people want to do the same and want to interact with them. And it's something I never recommend. These guys have such intricate social structures. And in my case, growing up with them, you know, I know all the intricate workings of their prides and their families. So I think it's always such a high risk for someone to go and try and do this with animals that they've never met.
So simple, just dumb it down for me. Like, when do you know it's safe to approach a lion or a leopard or a hyena or whatever? When do you know it's safe, and when do you know, okay, listen, I need to get out here because it's still a wild animal?
So the easiest answer to that is it's never safe. That's the thing. As much as we try and have that annotation of domestication that we attach to them, they're always wild animals. They always have that instinct, and I think it's something that needs to be respected. Like I was saying earlier, I never walk up to the animals. I will always let the animals come to me. They tell you when they're not happy, just in their body language, the position of the ears, the face. They have facial expressions just like we do, so you can quite easily tell when they're having a bad day. So, again, it just goes back to really understanding the individual animal and their personality, and allowing them to have the freedom to say, hey, I'm not having a good day, and just respecting those boundaries that they set in place.
So what is the why? Why do you do this? Why do you interact with these cat species? I mean, obviously it's very dangerous, and you respect them very well. I can see it in the videos as well. Anybody can see it. But why? Why do this? Why risk this?
I've got very good life insurance.
I can imagine, yeah.
No, so, you know, it's not like I work with a huge amount of animals. It's a handful of characters that I've grown up with and I've been able to maintain the relationships with. And I think in the environment that I'm, that we're in, it helps us in terms of daily care, maintenance, stimulation. At the end of the day, it is a captive environment. Although they have very big spaces, it is a managed environment. And the fact that I'm able to take them out and take them out on the reserve for a walk, Let them have that exercise. Let them have that freedom.
Oh my goodness.
It gives them a much better quality of life, and being able to be so close to the animals that I work with. You know, if there's a health issue, for example, we don't have to sedate an animal to be able to treat it. Wow. So it helps us in the daily management and care of our animal family.
And they allow you to do that, these animals. That's incredible. I find it fascinating. Which of the cat species, like lions, hyenas, leopards, and call them, which are the most dangerous? I suppose it'll be the lion.
So I think out of all of the predators, if I want to say the one I would be most scared of, if it has to get angry and decide it wants you for lunch, is actually the hyena. Those are like little tanks. They just, when they come for you, they come for you. They see red.
And they laugh at you.
Lion King right?
Absolutely not. I think they're such amazing, misunderstood animals. They've got, again, such intricate personalities. They can problem solve. They can figure out how to open a door. They smile when they're happy. They cry when they're sad.
Figure out how to open a door. All right, so I'm taking notes here when I drive through the national park next time. Okay.
The little tanks that know how to open a door.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
they're so intelligent. And yeah, I think all the ladies that are listening are going to love this, but it is a female-dominated species. So the ladies are in charge. But yeah, I think everyone has that annotation or that connection that they're scavengers. And it really just depends on the populations and the geographical distribution. So if you go more north in Africa, places like the Ngorongoro Crater, they're one of the primary hunters in those areas, and they're very successful at it. So, you know, very talented hunters, very smart. And, you know, if they are scavenging, if the food is there, why do you want to overexert yourself, you know?
Yeah. Wild dogs? What are their temperaments like? Because, I mean, I found it fascinating. I saw it now when we went up to the national park for a holiday a while back. We drove straight into a pack of wild dogs like they were on the road. We were so fascinated by them. But they, I enjoy their presence, but I'm trying to read them as well. Like, a lion sometimes just chill. Right? They're like, eat, and now it just lies in his chair. And they seem very easygoing. But a wild dog, I don't know. It seems like something's bothering them the whole time. Are they okay? Is alles right, Abela?
It's wild dogs. I really love working with them. They're, again, quite a complex species. Obviously, they are critically endangered, especially you know, in South Africa, our numbers in the wild are very, very low. But again, very intelligent animals. But it is like working with the Energizer Bunny. Like, that's next level energy. They're continuously moving. So, yeah, I think it's very special, you know, when you're able to work with an animal like that. Again, understanding their personalities and behaviors, not all of them are going to be the same, and just building that bond. I have had the privilege of hand rearing three. That was one of the most difficult things that I have probably ever done in terms of rearing an animal. They're very, very sensitive and complicated, and I mean, when they're born, say they're minute. They're like 200-300 grams.
Yeah, I would love to see that, eh?
So hand rearing, like from that size, from the 200-300 gram.
Yeah. So one of the most difficult experiences, but one of the most rewarding experiences. And the three that I hand raised still call the park home.
So what is the toughest part of what you do? I mean, it sounds like the dream job to do what you do. I mean, to interact with lions and leopards and all these things. But there's got to be a reality. Like, and what is the real, because that's a good part. What is the toughest part of what you have to do?
I think the toughest part for me, and you can ask any person that works in any form of zoological field, is that, you know, you build such strong connections with these animals, but the reality is you'll be there for the whole of their lives, but they'll never be there for the whole of yours.
Oh, man.
And I think it's one of the most difficult parts, is eventually you will have to say goodbye. And I can tell you now straight out, I've cried harder over losing an animal than I have over people. It's like losing a family member.
How long do lions live?
So lifespan in the wild is around 9 to 12 years. In an environment like at the lion and safari park, 20 to 25 years would be around the average age.
Right.
Wow. So significantly longer. But it's because they always have access to food, water, and for lions specifically, medical attention when it's needed, just because they do fight a lot, even in their own family structures.
Yes. Yeah, that's insane. Like, I read up about it quite a bit, and how, territorially, is that a word? And how they have to fight for their territories on a frequent basis. And then you can see, like, there's another lion coming in. They are ferocious. Like, they are... They are incredible animals to just watch, but I mean, very much territorial in the essence as an animal.
Definitely, you know, if lions establish their territories, and that's why, you know, when you go to places like the Kruger or any of our national parks or private game reserves, you'll hear the lions roaring.
Yes.
It's a territorial call, so it's them establishing themselves in an area, and it's just a way for them to let other animals know, this is my territory. If you come here, there's going to be a problem.
And they do take chances, right?
Because they
want to.
They do, especially with the young males. They get ousted from the pride at around the age of two. And before they reach full maturity and, you know, may have the chance of taking over a pride of their own, they kind of have to weave between different territories. So it can be very stressful for them. I remember in Botswana watching two young males that had been kicked out. And they came quite close to the research camp that I was at. Just being able to understand their behavior, you could see the stress on their face because they were kind of like on the edge of a territory between two prides. If they go one way, there's a problem.
Mm.
If they go the other way, it's a problem. So life in the wild can be incredibly tough.
Mm. So with us in studio, Shandor Larenti. Very unique relationship with incredible animals. I want you to go and follow him as well on TikTok. We'll give you the details a little bit later. But somebody dropped us a WhatsApp now saying they want to ask you the question, is it true that hyenas has the most powerful jaw or one of the most powerful jaws among the animal kingdom?
They definitely do. Their bite is a lot stronger than a lion. The reason for this is they are able to eat through the bone. So this is a little bit gross, but if you ever look at hyena poop, it's very white. Like, it goes white really quickly, and that's because of the calcium level in the feces.
Oh, right.
So they really need that strong jaw to be able to kind of bite through the bone. 9 times out of 10, a lion's jaw pressure would never be able to bite through and, you know, eat the bones that a hyena would. Their stomach acid is amazing as well because they're able to digest that, which is quite incredible.
Crazy. So, right. So, let me sketch a scenario. So, I walk in the wild, and the next moment, there's a pack of lions in front of me. What do I do? Do I run? Do I kneel? Do I lie down flat out on my stomach? Do I try and climb a tree? What do I do?
Just don't be the slowest person.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Got that. But if I'm the only person, I'm in trouble. That's me.
So, cool, calm, and collected. I know it's very difficult. You know, it's easier said than done. If you have a jacket or something, take it off, make lots of noise, make yourself look bigger, and try and give that illusion that's like, hey, I'm here, not backing down.
I would never be able to do that.
Really? Is that what you're supposed to do?
So,
well, I mean, nothing's going to guarantee you that they're going to run away. Let's be clear on that.
100%.
But
it works 95% of the time. I can't account for the other 5%. But, you know, realistically, if you start running away, that instinct kicks in. Like, I'm gonna chase you. Lionesses are able to quite easily climb trees. So there's no point in going up a tree. 9 times out of 10, you won't be able to do it as fast as they would. And I think people misunderstand how fast, or, you know, they don't always realize how fast lions actually are. So the best thing to do is just stay cool, calm, and collected. If they start coming towards you, you know, make yourself look bigger, make lots of noise, take your jacket off, kind of thing.
We had an encounter with elephants. I had a long story about that because there was a little calf and there was a big mother. And the next moment we stopped and we watched the moment. We gave them enough space so they can walk past slowly. And she took her time. And now this little calf was playful. Now she wants to play and the mom does not like them playing. And then the brother and the nichie and the niefie and amal, the whole family, The next one we saw, we were surrounded by these elephants and they were waving their ears, and there was a lady behind us with a car that didn't want to reverse, a big bus, and we were stuck. And I was like, what do I do now? Okay, because we could see the mom was not impressed with us. Long story short, eventually the little calf stopped playing and the mom moved out of the way. And the little calf went, but the little brother, he on the left-hand side, when he turned around, I decided I'm going to go. And as I just wanted to, I didn't rev up or anything. I just pulled away slowly and I tried to get away. As I approached this little brother on the left-hand side, he turned around. I was like, okay, flat out, let's just get out. I get foot up your pedal and I just went out. What is the best thing to do in a situation like that? I mean, do you do the same thing with elephants? Do you try and make yourself bigger to try and get them to go away? How do you get them away?
So I think every situation is so incredibly different. Every animal is different. And like I was explaining earlier, different animals have different personalities. I was watching a BBC documentary now, their new series, Asia. And they have a whole segment on elephants. And there's this one bull that stops the vehicles on the road to get snacks. But then on the other hand, a kilometer down the road, there's other elephants that are trying to smash the cars on the road. So again, it's so situational. I think the best thing to do as much as possible, and as difficult as it is in those situations, is to really just stay calm, assess the situation, look for your nearest routes out. If you're able to back up from that situation, I think that's always the best thing to do, rather than pushing forward and getting yourself into more of a situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
So now I've got a very strange question for you with regards to the cats, for example, because it's so clear, Ruben mentioned it earlier as well, you've got so much respect for these animals and for the role that they play in your life and in the world. But let's say, for example, the cats, each personality, are they jealous? Do they get jealous with regards to interaction with you, for example?
So in the situation of the lions, we've got one or two characters that definitely do. So if you guys visit my social pages or visit the Lion and Safari Park social pages, you'll see George the Lion.
I was going to get to that.
People absolutely love George.
Yeah.
However, if the ladies come close, like they'll come say hello, they'll do their thing. But if they don't go off and lie down, he gets very angry with them. Whoa. So if they start trying to rub up against me, he'll start growling at them. And he gets a little bit possessive.
And you just hang around them while this is all taking place.
Just stay calm.
You
don't get in between couples fighting. Like, guys, that is lesson 101 in life. Doesn't matter what the species is.
Let me be honest now. Have you had moments where you're like, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble now?
I've had one or two. You don't really think about it in the moment, but it was actually in George's pride. So George and the lioness he's with had an accidental litter. She was on a contraceptive and the contraceptive failed and she fell pregnant. So she ended up having two cubs. Contraception it's not foolproof. Anyway, those cubs, now they're three and a half years old. I'm talking like a year or two ago. And it's one male, one female. The female's still in the pride. She's very sweet, Aria. She's grown up around me. Even though she's not hand-reared, she's very comfortable with me being around her. Her brother, though, got to that age where he was reaching sexual maturity, and now he wants to assert his dominance over George. So he had been fighting with George. And I was very far away from the vehicle that day. And the ones that are not hand-reared, they'll do a growl when they want a snack or something, or they just want to get your attention. And I'm coming to eat you growl. And that was an I'm coming to eat you growl.
I'm seeing you with goosebumps listening to this.
And my mentality has always been, not to attach human emotions to animal behavior. So if something happens, that pride instinct kicks in and they're all going to kind of join in on that. And in this case, this male started coming for me. And out of nowhere, the lioness ran and grabbed him from the side. And George came from behind me, knocked me to the side and grabbed him. Gave me enough time to get to the vehicle. So as much as I always had that thought that, they wouldn't they wouldn't protect me. In that case, they 100% did. I wouldn't be sitting here with you if it wasn't for George.
Are you telling me that George saved your life?
On that day, very much so.
What?
From his son. Respect your elders and contraception.
Wow.
100%.
Wow. Exactly.
How cool is that?
Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95. Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.
Okay, en sit ingeskakel, ek breek nou die reels hier, want ek wil nou nie liedjie speel nie. Ek wil nie eers nog verder.
My heart is in my keel. Like, I'm on the edge of my seat.
I want to talk to you, Shanda. Here's the thing. Tell us about this a while back. We all saw the social media post. There's a lion walking around freely in Johannesburg, right? Is there any truth to that? Will we ever see that? Has it happened?
I'm really sorry, guys. So we work on a lot of movie productions and a lot of film shoots.
Yeah.
And that was on the sets of a movie production. So that was in Bromfontein.
Yes.
The streets were completely fenced off, although it didn't look like it. It was a full-blown movie set at 2 a.m. in the morning in Bromfontein. And that was a lion called Columbus.
One of ours.
I was very much there. If you go very far back on my Instagram page, you'll actually see some of my posts from set that day. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the animals you see on TV, on movies like Blended with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore,
yes.
The lions, giraffe, and some of the other animals are, you know, they call the park home. So yeah, we definitely have celebrities at the park.
Yes. So you've met, Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. Have you spent time with them as well?
Adam Sandler, yes. So we obviously worked on Blended. I worked in it for a few weeks in different locations. So, you know, we got to be with them on set. We had conversations with Adam Sandler. But even at the park, I've had the opportunity to meet so many incredible people over the years. So I'm very fortunate in that sense.
So how does that work, right? So you fence off Johannesburg city center. Where was it? Sorry.
Bromfontein.
Bromfontein. So you fence it off. And then how does it work? You release the lion, and then you are there, obviously, on site, and then you control and manage, and do you just let it do its thing, or is it like a time limit? I mean, saying, okay, there's an hour gone now, I need to feed this bad boy to get it back, or how do you get it back, and how does it work?
So, logistically, there's so much that goes behind it in terms of permits, getting permission to obviously shoot there in the first place, and having the correct safety measures in place. So on film sets, we always have animal anti-cruelty officers to kind of monitor what's going on, independent bodies.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, we are licensed in South Africa to be able to train and work with these animals for film production. And again, not every animal is able to do this. When I go back to specific characters, it's animals who enjoy going out, seeing new spaces. If an animal is stressed in any way, you're not going to be able to kind of get them to do the motions that you want them to do. So they have to be as relaxed and as comfortable as possible. Not it's the same as people. Not everyone's cut out to be a film star, but very much like people, you have a script. Obviously, animals, it's very limited as to what they're able to do.
Yes.
And it has to be within the bounds of their natural behaviors.
Yes.
But like the lions, for example, we used like small cubed pieces of meat. So it's a positive reward system.
Yes.
So if you need them to go from A to B, one trainer walks on the left, the other trainer calls them to the right. And that's how you get that walking motion, just as an example.
So if I had to, it's probably one of the most unfair questions ever, but if you had to sum up your biggest moment in your career in what you do, if you had to single out one moment, what would it be for you?
It's a very difficult question. I think I've had so many like out of this world experiences, both with people and with animals.
It's a tough one.
Caught me off guard there.
And also, like, we always joke and say you can't ask an artist what song is the favorite, because it's like asking which of your kids you love most. But you literally have animal kids.
But wouldn't it be like the moment that George saved your life?
I think that was definitely you know, it was quite high up. I think when they had their first litter, when they had those same cubs I was talking about, even though they weren't expected, you know, when they were born, I was like, okay, this is going to very much change the pride dynamic. How is this going to work?
Yeah.
These lions will not be hand raised. They're growing up in their prides. And it was amazing. You know, when I went in for the first time, when the cubs were a couple of weeks old,
yeah, man,
and both of them came running up to me with the little cubs trailing behind, like, hey, dad, look what I did. I think that for me was a very, very special moment. And the fact that they were so comfortable with me to the point where they would go to sleep next to me and let the cubs just play. I think that speaks to the level of comfort that they have, you know.
Sure.
Being in your presence.
Oh, wow.
Do you actually, how do you communicate with them? Do you actually speak to them? And do they, and it might be a silly question, but do you actually communicate in English with them? Or is it hand gestures? Is it body language? How do you communicate with these incredible animals?
So the animals communicate with you, whether that's in their facial expressions, their body languages, the sounds that they make. Again, going back to their individual personalities, they all have different traits, and it's just understanding those. But I mean, I'll have full-blown conversations with animals. Like, I'm quite weird like that. But I don't know. Sometimes it's getting it off my chest, and sometimes I feel like they actually listen. Like, you'll get that, like, you'll say something and you'll get that look up or kind of that reaction. So,
oh man, this is epic. I thought I had a great job. I think you've got the best job ever. Shandor Laurenti. Go and follow him on TikTok and on Instagram as well. I mean, over 9 million followers on TikTok. And like we said earlier, you very much use your platform to educate on these unbelievable animals and so on. So thank you so much for taking the time. I wish I had more, because there's so much more that, like, I think we can dive into.
If you don't follow him and you do it right now,
yeah,
call your boss. Say you've got like some other stomach bug, because this is going to swallow up like 2 days.
Yes. That's unbelievable. All right, so go and follow him and stay updated on things. Thank you so much for sharing this. And at least I know now I must just do my speed work to run faster, at least.
I know I'm not going to the bush with you, because I am definitely slower than you are.
Shannon, thanks, man. I appreciate
Thank you
your
guys
time
so much for so having much. Me. And yeah, we actually look forward to welcoming both of you to the Lion and Safari Park. So,
all right, that'll be great.
Make that happen.
Awesome.
All right, so daai het dit. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Nou ja, op daai noot. Oh, so by the way, are you a Lion supporter or a Blue Bull supporter?
Should I move the mic away?
Don't bother, bye! Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.